The arts are probably not something which many people would relate to sight loss, but with audio description, visually impaired actors, writers, producers, it definitely is something which is open to all. Now today I'm joined by Kira Syed to talk a little bit about the arts. Thank you for joining us, Kieran.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me first of all then a little bit about your involvement, because I know you're acting, writing, you're involved in audio description, you're a very busy person.
Yes, I love the arts, and I love to challenge how to make the arts accessible without losing the art experience. I've done acting in the past. I have just finished a creative writing course at the Arvin Centre in Shropshire, which was brilliant because it was for blind and partially sighted people with sighted writers. And it was really interesting because it renewed my happy relationship with writing, and that was great. And it also challenged me as to how I could be a better, and I have to say it in gentle quotes, a blind writer, because often we deal with access technology to help us write. And obviously quite a few people who use JAWS will know that JAWS chatters away to you when you're writing, and you haven't got that blank space to just write. It was how to kind of deal with that, how to switch off from JAWS, but get JAWS to be your friend at the same time, and talk to other blind and partially sighted writers and how they do that. So that was great. I'm a trainer, and I support organisations to make their museums, galleries and heritage sites more accessible for blind and partially sighted people. And I do that through, as you just quite kindly mentioned, audio description. So it's actually making the visual into auditory. And I also work in theatre. So, yeah, I do quite a bit, really.
When you talk about writing and acting, do people sometimes wonder how you do these as someone with a visual impairment?
They do. They very often do. And particularly acting, because they always think you're going to fall off the stage, and you're absolutely not. If you've learned a route, if you've learned a way around a space, we are really good at finding and navigating our way around it. And I think people do worry about it. And I think with writing as well, there's a very interesting tussle, which is, and we had this tussle, which is, do you declare that you're visually impaired before you talk about your writing, or do you do your writing and let the writing tell the story? And I'm still in this tussle, and I'm not sure. But it is a really difficult world, the acting and the writing world, because actually quite a lot of it still depends on the visual aspect, and having to break those barriers is tough. But once you've broken them, it's actually brilliant.
You don't want to be known as the blind writer or the blind actor, because it does sound a bit pigeonholing. And we often talk about that that question, do you declare, when we've looked at, you know, looking for jobs, applying for courses, should you tell people straight away, or do you think, well, no, I want to be judged on everything else rather than my sight condition?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see that. My other argument back to that is, then how on earth do I find other role models, other people like me? And that's the tricky beast. And I haven't reconciled myself with it yet. And I'm not sure if I ever will. And then that's not a bad thing. Because, I mean, if we're tussling with the question, what I don't want to go back to the dark old, in the writing world, I can say, but in the dark old days of when the Bronte sisters had to pretend to be males to get their writing out there. And I don't want to go to dark old days where you have to be something else to get something out.
Where did the interest then come for the acting and the writing?
I guess, like any person, you want something to talk about. You want to tell something. You want to have a reason behind something. And me, I'm quite politically minded. So I actually want to try and change the system, which is a big thing. And so the acting and the writing came from, you can go into another world and you can say things in the other world that you probably can't say in the real world. So in sort of officially in front of somebody, you can't say this is really rubbish. But in a creative way, you can actually try and trash what they're doing. And in that sense, you can actually make people think. And I guess that's where it came from. And that's where it's standing. And, you know, that's where my training comes from. But I don't actually say, obviously, in my training with people, I'd say politely that we've got to change things. But it does come from that space of, I want to make a difference and I want to change things.
That change, it sounds educational and so on, but the fun element is there as well, isn't the whole creativity?
Oh yes, and it has to be fun, and you have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy doing it, and you have to enjoy listening or reading it. And I think that's really, really important. And I spend a lot of time listening to audiobooks, And they are one of my best friends, because I think being a blind or partially sighted person, we're quite often quite isolated. You know, it is tricky getting out there, and it is tricky finding things that are accessible, and it's tricky finding people to go with. And so audiobooks are something that you can jump into, and it's there, and that you can go into another world. I know what I enjoy listening to, and I want to be able to write that way so I can enjoy listening to my own writing. And I know what I like going to see at the theatre, and it's exactly the same with acting. And I'd like to be able to see people like me up on that stage as part of another theatre ensemble. So it becomes really, you know, like, it's not different, it's ordinary. I mean, we still haven't got there, but we're getting there slowly, I think.
I mean, you have groups there which are, you know, of and for blind and partially sighted actors. But in terms of geography, you know, you'd like to see more of that around the UK. Do you find it difficult to find other like-minded blind or partially sighted people?
Yes, I do. I mean, particularly up here in Edinburgh. I've moved up to Scotland about 4 years ago. And obviously, you can tell I'm not Scottish. and something about the accent or lack of. But I was in London for a long time. In London, I use there's a lot going on. But Scotland and Edinburgh have so much going for it. And so is Glasgow and other parts of Scotland. And it's just like, it's really difficult to pull out and find creatives in a sort of that journey of sharing and working together. And that's what I found pretty hard. And as I say, being blind and partially sighted is quite isolating, because you've got to think about access, you've got to think about how to make things accessible, and you think about the journey before you've even walked out the door. And it's exactly the same process if you're kind of thinking about being self-employed, because you're always having to sell yourself. You haven't got office workers, people you can chat to about what was on the TV yesterday, or, you know, did you hear what was, you know, read in the papers or whatever. So it is just you in the office. It is just you working on your own. And so that double whammy of isolation is pretty hard. And so I would love to connect with more Scottish writers and performers and actors and trainers, so that we could work more collaboratively together, you know, particularly blind and partially sighted people, because, again, it's tough out there. And I want us to work together, because I think united we stand, divided we fall. And I believe there are a lot of creatives up here. And yeah, just think about Fringe. Fringe is amazing. But why should it just be that one magic month? Why can't it be like 12 months throughout the whole year? And why can't there be a lot more creative visually impaired people doing more stuff and out there? And in a sense, we've got a better chance up here because we've got less competition.
I mean, you've mentioned isolation and collaboration, so two sides of a coin, if you like. And I would have thought, yeah, when it comes to acting and writing, you know, they probably work well either way. But in terms of visual impairment, that collaboration sounds even more important, and working together.
It's absolutely vital. I think it's really vital. I mean, even if it's a collaboration that you're having a really rotten day today, and somebody else is going to think about a way that you can get through something that's a tricky process, it really is really, really important. And I actually have felt it more coming up here than I've ever felt it anywhere else. Because up until then, I actually thought there are so many people you can connect with. And then suddenly you know, come up to a different place, you're not having trying to make new friends. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. You know, you can't have the glance in a cafe or go to a community centre and read a notice and then just go to a particular writing group or something, because you have to think about the accessibility. I'm a member of a choir, and I don't know, Gareth Malone has a lot to answer for sometimes, I think, but a lot of the things that they do in this choir is that they actually do lots of movement with the singing, and I can only sing and I can only move, and I have to try and learn to do both. But I've been in the choir for about like 3 or 4 terms now, and they've started to put stuff in Braille for us, and they've started to kind of think about how to make the movement more accessible. And that journey has made all the people in choir think about sort of access and think about how to communicate and stuff. And when I first started, no one ever came to speak to us. And then yesterday when I went in, lots of people came and said, hello, I haven't seen you for a while. And I thought, wow, but it's taken a while to break that barrier. And I'd like if there were more blind poetry society people who were connecting with each other and we were doing lots of different things, but we were all trying to break barriers together, it would make such a big difference.
Well, let's hope some people listening to this will think, well, yeah, let's get in touch, and we'll get some details from you shortly, Kieran. One of the things I want to touch on, though, before we do that is, you know, we mentioned audio description, we mentioned the theatre, and you do get involved with Audio Description Association Scotland.
Yes, I am. I'm a committee member of ADA Scotland, and one of the things we're trying to do is actually increase newbies to theatre world. Otherwise, the service will just disintegrate because there won't be the people using it. So what one of the ideas we do is do something called taster sessions, which is you can try it out. And we did the first one, we did it with the Adams family, and it was exceptionally successful. It was brilliant. And they offered a little bit of refreshments before the show, and then we came back and we chatted in the interval. We had a little questionnaire that we got people to fill in during the interval about, you know, what they found difficult, what they were found enjoyable about the show, what was stopping them from coming to the theatre, what would encourage them. And it was really, really successful. So we're actually doing another one. The tickets are for free. You never get much free in this world. There's always a little cost, but it's only asking a few questions. But the tickets are free, and they're for a blind or partially sighted person, particularly somebody who's never been to a theatre show before, or somebody who's willing to support somebody to kind of access the theatre show. But we're going to do the next ones on June the 9th. We're going to do Matthew Bourne's Cinderella, which is always really odd. Cinderella in June. I always think Cinderella is a Christmas thing. But it's June the 9th, Cinderella. It's at the Festival Theatre. Places are limited because we're limited in terms of our funding because Aid Scotland is a charity. But if it's, you know, successful and we can get people to come along and they can then help further promote it. It's a bit like I call it a filtering factory. It's like once people come along and they've actually listened to a show and they've had an experience of going to a theatre, they will, I often think, tell somebody. And they'll say it subtly, but it's better than promoting stuff. It's the best way of promoting because it means that, you know, self-promotion is the best way because people feel like I can trust it. If you've gone to it and you've taken the bravery of doing it and you've kind of tried it out, it's got to be worth doing something about. So I'm hoping that will have that filtering process. It's in Edinburgh, and I know some people are going to have them. We are hoping to try and do some in Aberdeen and other parts of Scotland. It's Edinburgh Part 2, because we did Edinburgh Part 1. So if I get more interest from people from other parts of Scotland, say, yeah, we want it on our end of the neck of the woods, then you know what? I'll push it to make sure that the committee can do another show up there.
Just finally, Kieran, going to get some contact details from you for the tickets from ADA, but also, as we said, you're looking for people to get in touch who, you know, like the acting and the writing and so on, want to make those connections in Edinburgh. So how do people get in touch?
I'm not greatly technically minded. so email and mobile I can do. Don't ask me to Twitter or anything else. I'm working on it. But yeah, if people could get in touch that way, I'd be really happy to call people back, email people back, and we can connect. I'm not scary. I'm tiny. I'm 4'10" and I don't chew. But I know how scary it is to try. So, but please do connect and do give us a call if you can, if you are interested, or drop me an email and I will definitely get back in touch. My email is kieran.saeed@btinternet.com, and I'm going to spell it really slowly, which is kirian.saeed@btinternet.com. And my mobile is 077061 4747. That's 077061 4747. Thank you once again,
Kieran. Best of luck with getting more people involved and enjoying audio description for the first time and making those all important connections as well. And thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and let's hope I can connect.